everybody in the media or around the league as far as other players said, and they threw it back at everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So teams are going to do that to them now.
Yeah, they
Patrick
are.
Beverly, you know what? Patrick Beverly isn't doing anything that Draymond Green didn't do.
That's a good point. You're right.
And I think, you know what, Warrior fans, you got to stand up and you got to own it. Like, yep. you know, you were in the catbird seat for 5-6 years, and it may not be the same this year. It might get back to it next year. But, look, this is part of sports. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you eat the bar, and sometimes the bar eats you.
Yep, and right now, you're getting it. And you're going to get the, you're getting the bad end. You're getting the business end of things now. And when the Clippers of the world can step on your throat a little bit, they're going to step on your throat a little bit more. And I think the Lakers will do the same. So you mean to tell me LeBron, you don't think LeBron wants to come back and kind of stick it to the Warriors after not making the play? Coming west
LeBron,
and not making the playoffs
LeBron
last year?
LeBron played preseason game number one like it was game six of the finals.
Yeah. And that'll tell you a little something. When teams can stick it to the Warriors, they're going to stick it to the Warriors. And you can say the Clippers, it's early in the year, and they're trying to set a tone. And you know what? A lot of these teams like kicking the team that's been kicking them for 5 to 7 years.
415 on the Chilton Auto Buddy text line. And I just lost it because we had a bunch of them coming.
Dang, people are coming crazy.
Warriors game one was an adjustment for me. I've been a Warriors fan since the late 60s. I'm looking forward to seeing this Warriors team rebuild with the veterans, Steph, Clay, and Draymond, plus the young players. That was like five texts that were all in a row, but they were all in not in the right order. But we put them in the right order.
Well, good job. I appreciate that. The thing about the Clippers, I will say this, it is solidifying my not-so-hot take that Jerry West is the all-time greatest player to become a executive
That's
in any sport.
That's not even debatable.
It's not even debatable. He is.
I couldn't even.
You can't do a Mount Rushmore because he is the only one. Everyone else is playing for the silver.
Yeah.
I mean, think of his only mistake was Memphis. And it wasn't a mistake.
Yeah.
He got them to relevance.
Got them to 50 wins.
Exactly.
And like a four seed a couple of times. Remember, Memphis.
Remember when he got laughed at for having Hubie Brown as the head coach?
Yeah.
He got laughed at. And remember when Hubie was at going with five-man rotations? He'd play a group of five for 6 minutes. Then he'd play another group of five for 6 minutes. And everyone's like, what are you doing? You guys are nuts. They win 50 games and get into the playoffs. And then he goes off and he turns the Warriors into what they are, which I think to me, honestly, John, we're going to have this discussion one day. When the Warriors are trying to retool, how do they do it without the guy who built them?
Yeah.
Okay? You can say everyone's around, but the guy who pulled the strings isn't. And now he's pulling the strings against you, and you see what he did.
Let's go to Coach in Vallejo. Coach, you're on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Coach.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Great topic. I want to talk about the Warriors and their big men.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bob Myers have a tendency to draft guys that don't fit today's NBA. Today's NBA is played above the rim. And you get guys like Paxel and Spellman and these guys. They're big, broody guys, but they're slow jumpers, and they do not play above the rim. That's why other teams can shoot right over the top of them. Other teams slam dunks on them. And, you know, any draft stiffs like Damon Jones and things like that. But if you look at the Warriors' big men, the only one that can really jump is Chris. And I don't know what happened to Glenn Rice III. He used to, jump and play above the rim. But for some reason, he seems to be afraid. But when you get Paxos and the Pool, I don't know why they drafted Pool. That guy is terrible. He was even bad in college. But these guys play below the rim, and it was just disheartening to watch, you know, Montrezl Harrell look like Hakeem Olajuwon against them, you know?
Well, I will say this is a game of athleticism, and if you don't have the athletes to do it, you aren't going to outsmart a lot of teams for 82 games. Again, I haven't seen them enough to know how many guys are above the rim guys and not above the rim guys, but I don't think they're 100% healthy just yet. Hopefully, you were saying that you think Willie Cauley-Stein is an upgrade.
I think he is.
Okay.
I think he's an upgrade over what they're doing now. And I think him with Kevon Looney gives a couple of different looks to where you can get through 48 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If you have those two guys, you've got enough to get through 48 minutes on a lot of nights and have effective center play.
Yeah. Quick from the 408, we were talking about Jerry West. The thing with Jerry West is that he needs an owner willing to spend. Yeah, but Jerry West created the space for them to spend. Guys who own teams in the NBA now are all billionaires. They're not 100 millionaires. They got money and they compete. Everyone says, why would you want to do that if you have $1 billion? Because those guys compete like you don't know. Steve Ballmer didn't get into the NBA because it was neat that he had $16 billion. He got into the NBA because he wants to win a championship. And Jerry West was smart enough to create the space for two superstars. And he not only created the space, he created the space with guys who could play.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. More of our watchable no-watch lists as well. That's coming up here. If you want to chime in with yours, feel free to do so. A lot of text as well. It's JD and Co's Warriors This Week, 95.7 The Game.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Jim Cosimore, Warriors This Week, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. The Chilton Auto Body text line, Coz, saying a couple of our callers have been a little hard on the Warriors rookies. And we had our one guy. What was our guy's name? The last guy. I can't remember his name.
I just remember Jen from Danville because it's the safest town.
Yeah, Coach was very hard on Jordan Poole.
Well,
I mean,
I know. I get it. You know what? Here's the thing.
I mean, he's 2-for-13 in his debut. Who cares?
Part of it is, though, there's a group of fans out there who are so bought in and yet have been cautioned so much that this is going to be a different year that their dander is up and they want to, they're kind of, you know, they're taking, not taking shots, but they're throwing darts at people that we all know it hasn't been very much. There hasn't been a lot of time. We need some more time to figure it out. In 36 hours on postgame tomorrow, when you're hosting with Kolsky, you guys could be talking about, man, oh, man, this is a completely different team. This is the team that can compete for the 7th or the 8th seed. It's that conceivable.
Yeah, this team could go 41-0 against the seven ne'er-do-wells, of the seven non-playoff teams in the Western Conference.
Yep.
And to me, and again, you know, I think we've had pretty measured and logical takes on what's going on with this team. To me, I've laid out the path for the Warriors to make the playoffs. I've laid it out.
Okay.
It's win games like tomorrow and Monday and Wednesday.
It absolutely is. You're absolutely right. And it's the marginal. There are some teams that are thought of. Go ahead.
No, there are people that think, boy, JD, negative, doom and gloom. You guys, this and that and the other. And I'm telling you, I think they're going to. I'm telling you the path by which they can win 43, 44 games. And I'm also telling you that that's good enough to make the playoffs.
Exactly.
And you're still, like, that's where I start to run into, wait a minute, what are we talking about here, guys?
Well, we're talking about people who have that expectation of, you know, you're clearly a 50-plus win team because it's the only thing we build here. So you're way out of line for even coming up with a scenario. But the truth is, there are certain teams that before the season started, that NBA watchers, who I still maintain throw a lot of crap up against the wall and hope it sticks, but a lot of NBA watchers thought they were going to be the team that challenged to make a playoff spot. A lot of people felt the Sacramento Kings were going to be one of those teams that could challenge for a playoff spot. They weren't guaranteeing it. But for the Warriors to be a playoff team and 43 to 45 wins, they've got to take 3 or 4 from the Sacramento Kings in a season.
Yeah.
Right? Those are the teams you're talking about.
Yes.
The teams that... Now, again, I'm not saying the Kings are the same as the Warriors, but what I'm saying is they're fighting for the same prize now. The Warriors have to show they are dominantly better than them. Three of four is dominantly better.
You know, we were talking about it, and I laid it out. To me, the Warriors, I view them right now dead in the middle of the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Dead in the middle.
Okay.
I have put seven teams that I believe right now, today, are better than them. And seven teams that, in my mind, as long as the Warriors are healthy, they should be better than.
Okay.
There's 15 teams. I got them at 8, right in the middle. Can move up, can move down. But to me, the key is, how do you do against those seven teams? And the seven teams are Dallas, the Pelicans, Sacramento, Oklahoma City, Minnesota, Memphis, and Phoenix.
And some of those teams
you're playing all of them in the next three games.
We're still not sure what some of those teams are. Dallas started quickly with 2 wins. Minnesota the same. is that what they really are? Or, you know, maybe they caught a couple of teams. You know, this could be, if it's February and they won two in a row, we wouldn't even look at Dallas and Minnesota. But now that it's the start of the year, you all of a sudden have a heightened expectation or a heightened consideration for what they are. But it's teams like Dallas and Minnesota that the Warriors have to go either 2-1 if they play them three times, or 3-1 against if they play them four times.
Correct.
Those are the teams they have to dominate.
Yes.
And you have to hope that on occasion, you split with Portland. You split with one of the two LA teams. Because I think the expectation is Clippers should get you 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, to me it's if you're playing the Lakers and Clippers eight times, you win 2 of the 6.
Yeah. And if you can get
maybe 3 of the 6, or three of the, you know, 3 of the 8, I mean.
It should be 3 of the 8 if you get 4.
Three of the 8.
Right.
Yeah. You want to get 3 of the 8.
You want to get 3 of the 8, and if you got 4 of the 8, consider it a win.
Yeah. No
consider
doubt.
Going 500 against the two best teams considerable.
Yeah.
They're two of the four best teams in the West. Because honestly, listen, keep the tape and check back on April 1st. Denver and Utah are underappreciated in the Western Conference right now. Some might think that they're top four and might even say it. I don't think they have enough consideration that they can challenge the Clippers for the top spot. I believe in Utah and in Denver that much.
Yeah, and you don't put Portland in that group. I put Portland in that group.
I have them just outside of that group. But I do have, I also don't have the Lakers as 1-2 with the Clippers.
That's fair.
Okay, I have...
You have the Clippers, and then you draw a line?
No, I have Utah, Denver, and the Clippers.
Okay, and then you draw a line.
And then I draw a line. Then I have Portland and the Lakers.
Okay.
That's my five. So it's the same five.
It's the same five, but we have it our divvied blender, up a little different.
Yeah, our blender comes out differently.
Okay.
Okay, so we have the same ingredients.
It's all the same juice.
Right, exactly. It goes down the same, but it is made differently because I think if Mike Conley can get Utah a little bit more up-tempo, I think Utah is going to stun some people. Stun some people. So
let's get to Kevin in San Jose. Kevin, you're up here on Warriors this week.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I think the one caller was being really tough on Jordan Poole. I mean, the fact that he took kind of an ill-advised shot early in the shot clock, came back down, hustled, sold the ball to get the ball back. Dude hustles. He's pretty quick. He's not afraid to shoot. I feel like Pascal could kind of learn a little bit from that. I like Pascal's inside moves, but sometimes, you know, one time in the game he had like a wide-open jumper from about 10 feet. He kind of afraid to take it, kind of pump fake, kicked it back out. I definitely think Draymond's got to be a little more aggressive, got to shoot when he's wide open, similar to last year in the playoffs. Like, he sometimes is just hesitant on his shot. I get it. He's not known to be a shooter, but he's got to score more points. I definitely think they need some bench players back. Obviously, Cauley Stein, I think he's good with Looney because Cauley Stein's a little more athletic, a little quicker, but definitely Looney can get rebounds and whatnot still, but when he gets underneath, he's a little slow. So Looney's going to be better at, you know, kind of that 8-10 feet range, just hitting jump shots and kind of maybe a little bit of pick and roll. But I think you need to pair him with quicker players. So I think our big men are definitely struggling. I agree with the above the rim. But I don't think we're not above the rim. I just think we're not big enough right now. And when we get our bigs back and guys like Alec Burks and stuff like that, maybe Smiley Geach coming back again, I think we'll be looking a lot better. Give the young guys time to grow. But overall, like, I just think I'm a little more optimistic than some people. I think we're still going to score some points. It just comes down to, on the defensive end, can we be big enough and can we hustle enough to stop some people?
Hey, Kevin, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
How is it different watching the Warriors this year? Like, is it a different version of anticipation? Do you go into it with a little bit of a lackluster thought? Because for me, I'm kind of a little more interested only because I don't know what's going to happen on a nightly basis.
Right. Like, I feel like last year I was kind of disappointed because I'd watch games where I felt like they should blow fools out, and I felt like they weren't blowing teams out like I thought they would. So this year I really, you know, I watched pretty much every game last season, and I plan on watching pretty much every game from home because I can't afford it, but, you know, watching every game this season. But I'm actually more interested to watch the games this season because I do want to see how the young guys grow. I do want to see, can they, you know, they're kind of up against the wall. So can they get over it? How can Steve Kerr get these guys kind of buying in together? And, you know, I think they do have a lot of young talent. I just feel like, they, you know, we just got to be patient as fans. I know we're used to seeing something, still angry about, you know, Draymond getting kicked out and us not winning basically five straight championships. But, you know, things happen, playoffs, injuries happen. Like last year, I think we would have gone at least seven, if not won the whole thing if Clay didn't get hurt. But, you know, that's the way a cookie crumbles. So hopefully, you know, we can make the playoffs this year and then just see what happens. I think getting into the playoffs is a good goal. So, but I think, yeah, definitely need to. I've kind of tempered my expectations for sure as a fan, but I definitely think that, like, the fans, we just need to be patient, and it is more interesting. You're right. Like, I really want to watch the games now because I don't feel like they're going to be lazy. They can't afford to take a night off this year.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.
That's absolutely right.
Yep. That's the thing.
And it starts tomorrow afternoon at 12:30 right here on 95.7 The Game.
See, that's my thing. I think this year you're going to have your dial tuned to 95.7 The Game when you're at work, and when they're east, you're going to get in the car immediately and want to know what's going on with them, because they could be in, I'm going to pick random teams. They could go to Boston and you don't know what's going to be going on. And you're going to have the same feeling when they're in Charlotte taking on the Hornets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
They're going to have the Boston game and the Charlotte game have the same weight right now because I'm not quite sure what's going
to
go on.
And now you have to win the Charlotte game because you're going to be less apt to win the Boston game.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you're going to get in your car and you're going to immediately going to get to it. Hey, how are they doing right now? And you're going to get home and you're going to tune in on NBC Sports. It's just it's going to be different each and every night. And you're right, it does start tomorrow because Oklahoma City is the one you have to win if you want to be the 43-45 win team.
Exactly. And that's a team that you would beat when they were a better version of yourself, when they were a better version of themselves and you were a better version of yourself. Like, that's that's a team you'd beat then.
Yes.
So you
got
to beat them now.
Yep. Yep.
You know, if you still have Stephen Curry and Draymond Green, you need to beat them now.
And it's tougher now because teams, listen, when you're as good as the Warriors were, there are nights in the NBA, everyone says, well, the other team brings their best game every night. You know what? Some nights the other team knows they ain't got a shot. They throw their sneakers on the floor, and they know they ain't going to win. So the Warriors pushed them around. They won the game before they even tossed the ball in the air. It happens a handful of times against super great teams.
Yep.
And I've been around a couple of super great teams, and I've seen it firsthand.
We've seen a lot with the Warriors.
Yeah,
exactly.
Now, so in our minds,
how many times did the Warriors do exactly what the Clippers did to them?
Boy, you lost count, right? You lost count of how many times they just rolled somebody. Rolled them. And you know what stood out, though? The time when the crappy Laker team, remember Christmas Day last year? Christmas Day stands out because, you know, LeBron goes out and a stinking Laker team beats you.
Yeah.
That stands out. But that's the outlier.
With Rajon Rondo turning back the clock a decade.
Exactly. And that was the outlier. I'm telling you, it's not the great team that sees the other team's best game every night. It happens. But just as often, there is a team that just, it's a crap factory that night. Well, for the Warriors, they're not going to have the easy layup any night. Of 82, they have no layups this year.
Yeah, and there's
maybe Cleveland, maybe the Knicks.
There's no one-offs, though. Well, they lost. Boy, they lost that game. You know what? They'll win the next four.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Oh, you lost to Phoenix? I mean, last year
That's another one.
Lost to Phoenix at home. And by the way, the text line 650, Suns no longer a pushover. That it looks that way through two games.
I know.
I've actually watched a game and a half of theirs, and it looks that way.
Through two games, one where their best player was their best player, and they blew out a Kings team. The other one, their best player wasn't on the floor, and they pushed what I think is one of the two or three best teams in the Western Conference to the limit. I think it was overtime in Denver the other night.
They did go to overtime.
Without their best player.
Is Ayton their best player? I don't think Ayton's their best player. Booker's their best player, right?
They ran it all through. Boy, Ayton sure got his touches.
It was funny. I was, you know, our guy Nash Solomon, producer of this show, who's actually not here. He's got some serious deal going on.
Thinking about you, buddy.
Thinking about Nash. He's a Suns guy.
Yep.
And I said to him, we were kind of watching it. He was at his place. I was at my place. We were watching the game. We were kind of going back and forth. And I said, boy, Ayton looks like a different guy.
Yeah.
He looks lean. He looks like he's in shape. Yep. He looked a little heavy before. This guy looks like he's getting it done. And then the next day, boom. 25 games.
That's
for
why he looks
a
thin.
Diuretic.
He's on the diuretic, man. He does. He's all cut now. It's like he's in a bodybuilding competition. That same guy you were talking about, who's a big Suns fan, was the floor director. I was doing the Kings pre and post game show that night, so I'm in the NBC studios, and Nash is wearing his Suns gear, floor directing the Kings show. I'm like, you got a lot of stones, baby. You got some brass ones, don't
that's
you?
That's my guy.
That's my guy, Nash. He has no filter.
My guy. I want him producing every show.
We're praying for you, buddy. Hoping it's going well for you. You and the family.
Fred in Oakland. Fred, you're on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Fred.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Good, good. Yeah, I just wanted to speak on the Jerry West influence with the Warriors and all the past teams. I think you can't emphasize that enough. I think every team that once he left those teams, they turned out to be mediocre teams afterwards. And like the Lakers, Memphis, they kind of, you know, and then now the Warriors, it seems like he's moved on and the Clippers are starting to come up. And, you know, he was responsible for keeping Klay around. The Warriors wanted to trade him for Kevin Love and just the things that he's influenced and done, I think, with the organization, hopefully, because, you know, they give Bob Myers a lot of credit, which he deserves a lot of credit, but his draft picks haven't all totally worked out. And so I just wanted to speak on that as far as Jerry West, the logo, being such an influence.
Yep, that's a great,
NBA, you know, period.
Thanks, Fred.
That's great, Fred. We appreciate it. And there's another piece to that Jerry West puzzle, and I got to know it. We did a 30-minute special with Jerry West when he was an advisor with the Warriors.
Yeah.
It was just straight on Jerry West. And I got a chance to talk to him a little bit more than just interview him for the 30 minutes. But during breaks or beforehand, we just had a chance to talk. And, you know, he golfs. He stays. He's active. He works out every morning. He golfs and wants to, I think he wanted to, like, shoot his age or break 80 or whatever it was. It was just remarkable. And I said, just how competitive are you? And he stopped and turned and looked at me. And he said, it just, the look and the way he just said, oh, I'm competitive. And then he's a gentle man. You know the term gentleman?
Sure.
He is a gentle man when you talk to him. He's kind. He gives you time. He gives you a good, honest answer. And by honest, I mean he's not afraid to say some real strong things. He's an honest answer
guy.
Always
opinionated.
Always opinionated, but not brash and stick-it-to-you way.
Not Johnny Hot Take.
No.
But he gives you a measured, honest opinion that may not be what you want to hear.
But that it's that competitiveness, that competitive fire with him and the Clippers now. I think he wants to build the next bully to, I don't want to say embarrass the previous bully, but I think he wants to, boy, to him, he's in the best circumstance ever. He wants to one-up the team that he played and built. He was a Laker and should have been a Laker for life. And Phil Jackson and Jeannie Buss screwed that up. They were idiots, and they'll never be the same because of it. And then he goes and stays in state and becomes the team the state is known for, Golden State. Now he's back in the city to overtake his former team and win the whole thing against his other former team.
Think about this in terms of acumen, right? You are able to lead the Lakers to all those championships and build those teams, right? As Jerry West did.
Yep.
Okay. And then think about if you are the head of building the Golden State Warriors and the Los Angeles Clippers into championship level franchises. Think about that from where those two franchises have been. Now, I was born in the early 80s.
Right.
Think about there were no worse franchises in the NBA than those two teams. Than
You're
those
correct.
Two franchises.
They were the butts of jokes on evening television shows.
Yeah, look, I know the Warriors had with Nelly. They had some run there in the late 80s, early 90s. They had some teams that won some playoff series and were good teams.
Yep.
But again, if you let's just go from 94 to 2014.
When the Chris Webber scenario played out and they went and got Tom Gugliotta, it all started to fall apart, and it was never the same except for the one We Believe year.
The Warriors and the Clippers were joke franchises.
They were league-wide jokes, and the Clippers were the butt of jokes on the Leno show. Not so much the Carson show.
To be able to build those two franchises into championship contenders and winners if the Clippers do win it, and they're everybody's favorite now.
Yep.
That's remarkable.
By the way, he made the Warriors a global brand. Remember, when they bought the team 8 years ago, now I've lost track, 10 years ago, the plan was to call them the San Francisco Warriors. That's what I had heard. The plan was to move them and call them the San Francisco Warriors. They became such a strong brand known as the Golden State Warriors. They can't change it. They can't change that brand. It's too valuable around the globe. This was an organization that was laughed at. The owners were laughed at for spending at the time the most money anyone had spent on a pro sports team, or it might have been an NBA team only. Joe Lacob and Peter Guber spent $475 million. They outbid Mr. Oracle, and they were laughed at. Okay? That's how things have changed because of Jerry West. So I understand Michael Jordan's the greatest player of his era and maybe of all time, although I think Oscar Robertson and Will Chamberlain have pretty good arguments. You're never going to change the logo to Michael Jordan. It's not going to be the crying Jordan meme. It's not going to be Jordan Jumpman. The logo is the logo and will always be the logo. The end.
Well said.
Thank you.
There's no tip in there.
I know.
You dunked.
I went a little long. I apologize.
You dunked and then hung on the rim.
And I junk grabbed.
And you did junk grab.
I did junk grab on that one. Yeah. So I just believe so much in Jerry West.
And then you got on the scorer's table.
I did. I jumped up there just so everyone could see.
And took a massive swing at everybody.
We've been places where those things have happened.
Yeah.
We've been in the building when those things happened. And they thought they were moving on.
Yeah.
Close but no cigar.
Close but no cigar.
Yep.
John Dickinson, Jim Cozumel, Warriors this week here, 95.7 The Game. I want to get back into our watchable lists and our no-watch lists. Because there were some good... I was looking through the text, and there were a couple of good tech. The Cavs on the no-watch list. Orlando was on somebody's no-watch list. They were a playoff team last year.
You know what's funny? They're not on my no-watch list, but they're on my... I thought they were going to be on the watch list. Orlando? I really thought Orlando was on the come. I thought they were going to be the fun team. And it's early, but I've lost my interest. And I don't know. It's like Markelle Fultz. I thought he was going to come out this year and show everyone why he was the number one overall pick. But that's still TBD. I'm for Orlando, I'm holding out, you know, my decision on Orlando. But Atlanta, without question, is... I think Cleveland might be the no watch list. Cleveland might be the only team right now that's on the no watch list.
Indiana and Detroit. Detroit could be there. Detroit
was a playoff team last year.
Yeah.
In the East, marginal. You don't believe in Blake Griffin? You don't think Blake Griffin's is must watch TV?
He's not playing.
I know, that's true. But when he comes back. See, I will say this. Last year when I watched the Pistons...
Wizards are on that list, probably.
That's so funny. I'm going to tell you a story when we go off the air about those two teams, Cleveland and Washington. Getting back to the Pistons...
Yeah. Sorry, I'm sending you million different
ways. I know, I'm all over the place. Getting back to the Pistons, even when they were making a little run last year to get to the playoffs, I found them unwatchable because Blake Griffin, who's so physically talented, just sucks the life out of the offense. He is a black hole.
They needed him to be, though.
I guess. But Dwayne Casey's a better coach than that. Right? He's a better coach than that. They gave it to Blake Griffin and said, you do whatever you want to do.
I'm being kind now by just not by going silent.
Well, you know the famous among some, that the Mark Jackson story in the finals last year when Nick Nurse was taking him to the finals. And
oh, right.
He did the whole Dwayne Casey... helping build a franchise, getting them on the cusp of something of greatness. And Mark was really wanting to substitute the name Mark Jackson for every time he said Dwayne Casey. Right?
Yes.
And he thought Nick Nurse and Steve Kerr were kind of the same guy.
Yeah.
So I think, I still want to say Dwayne Casey's, I think he's a good coach.
I think he's a good coach.
He won coach of the year.
He's a good coach.
And then he got whacked.
No, he's a good coach.
He is a good coach. I think he's a better coach than just letting Blake Griffin get the ball. If Blake Griffin is shooting the ball 30 times a game, Pistons aren't worth watching. So,
okay,
that's just my feeling. And do we have a West Coast bias? There are more East Coast teams on our no-watch list.
Yeah, I have a West Coast bias for sure.
Yeah, That I want to
you know
see.
What? If there's nothing going on at 4 o'clock, if you don't give me a reason at 4 o'clock, that's when I'm going to go get a workout in.
You're going to keep jumping on the elliptical.
That's why I'm getting on the elliptical for the next 2 hours.
Yep. That's, man, you're better than I am.
Well, maybe 45 minutes.
I'd have repetitive stress injury at that point. You know?
Well, I'm not there yet. It's coming. That's probably in my future.
You're the only guy, though.
I still got a 3 as the first number.
Do you?
Yeah.
You'll have a white claw on the elliptical, though. You're the only guy I know who'll do that.
I have actually done that.
See? Because it's got just enough to make you feel good.
I'll make some of my LaCroix lemonade, my LaCroix hard lemonade.
That's good stuff.
I'll make a LaCroix hard lemonade.
That's a good one. That's
and then
good.
Hop on the elliptical.
I've tried to add that to my mix to cut down on the calories.
Or get in the jacuzzi.
Hey, when it's the cold season around here and the rainy season, I'm living in there. I might do a show from the jacuzzi.
John Dickinson, Jim Cozumel. Warriors this week. We'll give you the full no-watch list coming back on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors this week continues on 95.7 The Game.
Connor Letourneau comes up at 12:30. More of your phone calls straight ahead at 888-957-9570. It's JD and Co's Warriors this week. Until 1 o'clock on 95.7 The Game, we've got you covered as far as the Warriors and their little two-game trip. It's going to be over in a blink, but the Warriors hitting the road game one tomorrow against Oklahoma City. That's a 12:30 tip. We'll be on the air 11 o'clock as I will be joined by Matt Kolsky with the Warriors live, and then after the ball game, we'll have Warriors wrap up for you. As we get you covered on 95.7 The Game, and then
Kolsky will start talking at 1 once the Bear game is over.
Exactly.
He'll be in the room, and you'll hear him go, because the Bears will be playing.
Right.
And then once the Bears lose, then he'll be back into the end of the show.
And I have a feeling we're going to have dual screens going.
Okay. It's going to be like your house, 5 screen setup.
We're going to have dual screens going. There's actually as many screens in this room as I have in my little room.
Okay.
But I don't have one that's constantly on me.
I got you.
I don't have that. Yeah, we're like constantly being monitored by the bosses.
Yes.
That's what it feels like.
I used to work at a station where they mic'd the whole office.
Yeah.
So if you were in another part, like if we were in the bullpen over here,
oh my God,
getting ready for the show, the guy could hit a button and listen to what we were saying. That's dangerous.
I don't like that.
No, neither
I'm
do
glad
I.
We don't have that here.
That was like a quarter century ago. So don't, FCC doesn't have to look into anything.
No.
That company's not there.
Not here. And it's not
that
here.
That guy's not there. It's not here. It's not even in this state. So, but it was creepy because, you get cantankerous about work every once in a while. Like you're pissed. In this business, at the time I was like a guy who was trying to fight my way up the system.
Sure.
So I was like Johnny pissed that I wasn't on the air on this shift.
Yeah, hi.
Hi,
nice to meet you, Jim.
Yeah, exactly. So, you'd get caught saying something that you thought was just you and the producer who's also trying to fight his way up the system.
Sure.
But the guy in the corner office is listening to you on his listening device.
That just doesn't seem right.
No, it doesn't. And it wasn't. I got suspended for a week once.
Huh.
So
I got taken off the air for about 3 months once.
Well, that'll happen. To get into tomorrow's game, and I know you guys are going to get into this an awful lot tomorrow, but don't sleep on OKC. All right, don't think you're throwing your sneakers out. Don't think because they got rid of Paul George and Russ West that they're just a crap factory.
Right, they're not.
They're not.
No,
they can compete. I like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I like Danilo Gallinari. I like Steven Adams. Chris Paul is Chris Paul. I don't know what Chris Paul I'm going to get. But
that's not a bad starting five.
I got news for you. Of those teams that are the other that you named, the seven below the Warriors, that might be the best starting lineup of that other group.
Might be.
In depth, it's not. But it might be. I mean, that's not a bad starting lineup, which I think personally is a team. You know what Oklahoma City is? Oklahoma City is the team at the end of the year when they've played 82 games and your team could have been a 4 seed instead of a 5 seed. You're going to say, how the heck did they beat us 3 times or 2 times?
Yeah.
That's going to be the team that takes you out of the, I could have been the 8 and I'm the 9. I could have been the 4, but I'm the 5 because you slept on Oklahoma City.
Terrence Ferguson, the other member of their starting lineup. So they go Chris Paul, Ferguson, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari, and Steven Adams as their starting 5.
I like Schrader. I think he's a good backup.
Yeah, they got Schrader's coming off the bench. They've got Muscala and Nerlens Noel.
Boy, there's a guy who made a bad financial decision, huh? He could have had big money from Dallas, said no, then had to sign the. Now again, by human money, it's still great money, but was it $60 million he was offered?
It's pretty close to that.
Big number.
Big number.
And he thought he was going to get even more. Which gets back to my greater point. You know what my greater point is? Everyone said the 76ers did it right, the whole tank. They were the first team to go with the total tank.
Sure, yeah, the process.
You tell me how that's worked. Because he was part of it. He was a dog. Markelle Fultz was part of it. He was a dog, right?
They also have a championship contending roster in their mind.
How long did it take to get there from the time they started tanking? This is the first year you can say you got a shot.
I think they thought they had a shot last year.
Well, a lot of teams did. I don't know if they did, but even if you say they did, all that crap you went through, you're just now getting to the point where you were before you started to tank?
I mean, it's a 6-7 year process.
Are you willing to sit there and do that? Because, I mean, I'm sure Sixer fans are saying that now, but guys, they used to get 8,000 fans to a game. They had people not showing up. They had people rooting for losses. That's terrible.
I remember.
That's terrible. Remember when they thought they were going to challenge their own franchise record of 9 wins? They were 9-73 one year. And the great Fred Carter led them in scoring.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. He was an assistant when I was there doing games.
Let's go to Brian in Palo Alto. Brian, you're up next here on Warriors This Week. Hey, Brian.
Morning, fellas. How you doing?
Doing great. Well.
I don't know if you guys, and I know you guys don't like to reference other writers and such. Ethan Strauss wrote an article saying there was a disconnect between the coaching staff and the front office around the personnel on the team or the personnel that they chose for this team, which that's the first time I'd heard of that. And there's definitely this, like, Kerr seems to be the growing scapegoat this year in, like, the Warriors Twitter subculture. I don't know. That's the first I've heard of it. Do you think that's a thing, and is that a thing to pay attention to? Because that's kind of a big deal considering how much mutual love those two have publicly stated. Anyways, thanks, guys.
Yeah, there's a lot to chew on there, and I did read the piece by Ethan Strauss of The Athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Got no problem.
No, I got no problem.
Yeah, we got
like
no problem mentioning anybody by name.
I'm a fan.
or affiliation.
Yeah.
I think that where there may be a little bit of a disconnect even feels like it's a little bit strong, but it's how good can this team be? How much of this year is about development versus you have to get in the playoffs? And how good can you be once you get in? And when's Clay going to come back? And I mean, there are some things that have been stated publicly. You know, we had a text earlier that said, JD, how can you say 43, 45 wins, playoff team or whatever, when the head coach and Draymond Green both have said this week in so many words that this team isn't good enough and stinks?
Yep, I remember that. I saw that text.
And so there's this thought that maybe there's a little bit of mixed messages there in terms of who wants what and what this team has to be.
Right. And I think that there is also the struggle for them, and I'm going to interpret it, okay? I'm going to play psychologist, armchair sports psychologist here. I think that privately and now somewhat maybe publicly, they're setting the standard of, listen, this isn't what it was, so don't expect it. But I do think their competitive fire internally is, yeah, but if Draymond plays to his potential, yeah, but if Steph gets back to... Remember, a week ago we were talking about the MVP races and how Steph could be the guy who was the most valuable player in the league. Well, if Steph was the MVP, if Clay came back after the All-Star break, if D'Angelo Russell was the All-Star guard that he was last year and he comes here, well, then with all those ifs, then maybe they do compete for a playoff spot. So I think that there is a push and pull. And the one thing that makes us believe that they want to be a playoff team, new building, you can't go into a new building and stink. But maybe going into the new building will allow them to stink by their standards, because they're making so much money with all these other ancillary events that they're having in there. How many concerts have they already booked in that darn place? How many other events do they have in that darn place? Maybe because of the newness and everything that comes with the newness, they can have a fall off on the main chunk of their main course, the basketball team, in order to get better, to springboard forward in the coming years. Maybe the new building is saving them on that financial side.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, we haven't looked at it that way
yet. No, I think that's more than fair. And look, I have this conversation with Steiny all the time, Matt Steinmetz. I think this team can use this year to set itself up to be a championship contender again next season.
Okay.
And because there is a means to do it, whether it's you find a couple of young players that can be pieces to a championship caliber team. It's you don't rush Klay Thompson back, and you only bring him back at the end of this year to knock the rust off, regardless of whether you're a playoff contending team or not. It's the ability to see how D'Angelo Russell fits with this team, and also see how D'Angelo Russell fits as a trade chip to bring maybe not another star player back, but a couple of bench players or role players that can fit with a healthy Curry, Thompson, and Draymond Green. They also have the trade exception that they got from moving Iguodala to Memphis, which is what, a $16, $17 million trade exception that they'll have, that they can't use until the league year flips, because they're a hard cap team this year and they're going to have a window of about a day to execute something. They could take on a player that another team wants to dump.
Right.
A good player that could be part of a championship core as a role player. So they have options afforded to them, and that's not even saying draft pick.
Right.
That's not even saying, oh, top 10 pick or whatever it would be if things go awry and this team isn't a very good team this year.
Well, this is, again,
it's not crazy.
All coming together. This is all part of why we sit back and say this could be one of the more interesting seasons of Warrior basketball that we've seen in the last seven. And all these things that are going to come into play. And I know that as we come up on the league year, now conversations will change. But again, to me, the best part is let's worry about games, and the next one's coming up tomorrow, and tomorrow is a pivotal, pivotal game. As crazy as it sounds, we're in October, you're calling out for must wins already, it's not stupid.
It's a pivotal week.
Yep.
It's a pivotal week. I mean, you look at this week, and if it's Oklahoma City and New Orleans and Phoenix and the Spurs and Charlotte, and the last three of those are at home, to me, you almost need a 4-1 week, at least 3-2.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you want to be one of those teams that it's in the bottom four of the Western Conference because of the way the Western Conference is constituted, this is a week where you have to knock off those types of teams. And the New Orleans of the world without Zion, you got to get that win, right? Oklahoma City, you think you got to get that win. But I'm telling you guys, teams this year look at their schedule and say, the Warriors? Oh, yeah, this is one we circle now.
Yeah, it's not going to be the same.
No, no. And tomorrow's a tricky game. How did the Warriors play in the afternoons in the past? They're playing an early afternoon game.
They've been okay.
They've been okay? All right.
Yeah. They actually, but again,
I found some teams that aren't so good.
This is the new Warriors.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, at one point, the Warriors had not lost a game at 12:30 Pacific under Steve Kerr.
That's pretty darn good.
I think they may have lost one when Luke Walton was coaching them. But yeah, no, there were a couple along the way. I know there was one against the Knicks where they didn't play very well. There was one against the Lakers. I think the 73 win year where they got blown out. But I think it was maybe in the playoffs, the 12:30 starts, they had been undefeated.
Again, every game's going to be fun. Every game's going to be entertaining for a different reason. And I hope people, if you go at it with that attitude, you're going to have a fun year. And now it's going to be fun frustrating because there are going to be days when you lose to Oklahoma City and you think, how did that happen?
I live in a world where 43-44 wins for the Warriors this year a goal that I do think is attainable,
yep.
I view that as a good thing. Like, I view that as a, hey, that's a good year. I still think there's a portion of the fan base that hears me say that and says, JD, what are you talking about? You're being negative.
That you're a hater.
43, 44 wins.
Yep. They look at you and say, you're a hater for saying something so egregious that 43 or 44 wins, it would be a great year for this team. I'm in your world, quite frankly. And if they get to 48 to 50,
awesome.
You know what? Celebrate out there in the square between all the different buildings and your new Chase Center.
Yeah, Thrive City.
Go to Thrive City and let's have a little gathering. Not a parade, but a gathering. That's just my view of it.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. As you listen to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. It's hour number 4 of Warriors This Week with John Dickinson and Jim Cosimore here on 95.7 The Game. Connor Letourneau of the San Francisco Chronicle is going to join us at 12:30. We'll get his thoughts on the first really 4 weeks of this Warriors season when you go back to media day and training camp and the preseason and now one game under the Warriors belt before they take on the Thunder tomorrow, and just where he thinks this team is at heading onto the road for a couple of days.
I'm going to be interested, you know, just like I am with you, because you're out there every day. You're on the beat every day. I love talking to the everyday people because the last 5 years have had a different layer of expectation, but also a different layer of importance and attention. When the ESPNs of the world and the New York Post, the New York Times and the Washington Post are sending daily reporters out here, you know something special is going on. And I think that's intriguing. What is the layer of hype now? Are the Warriors the afterthought on most nights? When the Clippers came in on opening night, the Warriors clearly should be the big item. It's a new building. It's the Warriors. But I think on many levels, it was another look at the Clippers. It was a, how is Kawhi going to look in the new Clipper uniform? So we saw him against the Lakers. How is he going to look tonight? I think in some ways, a team, the Warriors, that were always top billing, even when they were losing in championship series to the Toronto Raptors and the Cleveland Cavaliers, the top billed team was the Golden State Warriors. How often are they the top billing right now? How often are they still intriguing? But I'm going to the circus not just to see them anymore.
Well, they still have Stephen Curry.
Okay.
And I think that makes you a certain level of the show because he still is the show. I mean, he could go for 50 any night and hit 10 threes and just take a game over. I mean, he still has the ability to do that any night.
Would you take that Steph, a guy who averages between 35 and 40 and a 41-win year that doesn't get into the playoffs? But it's exciting on any given night. You could open up your TV, your radio, your whatever, and you the box score, and you see.
Heck yeah, you'd take that.
You'd take that and not make the playoffs, but you'd have a thrilling ride of watching 30 just tantalize everybody.
I think there's a certain portion of Warrior fans that are, in some ways, not that they'd ever trade the championships, but I do think that with Kevin Durant coming in the fold, there's some Warrior fans that think we haven't seen the full Stephen Curry greatness because Kevin Durant came.
Mm.
That in some ways maybe
we wasted
were cheated.
His greatest years.
Maybe we were cheated out of seeing that.
Ooh, that's a discussion to have
on a self. You know,
individual
player level,
right?
Not on a team level.
As much as Steph Curry changed the way that basketball is played right now, and he did with his 3-point prowess. Klay was a part of it, but Steph was really the guy who was the ringleader of all of it. And kids all over the place are doing it. Leagues are changing. Colleges are changing. Everyone's changing their game because of the way Steph Curry did it. With all that said, did we get cheated out of more incredible greatness from number 30 because number 35 really was the calling card here?
He was the calling card, but he was also I come back to this. You know, the Warriors won 3 championships out of 5 years and 2 of the 3 with Kevin Durant in the fold. I mean, I always come back to, well, how many championships would they have won if Kevin Durant hadn't come?
Do you?
And I think that number's less than 2.
You do, huh? You don't think that same mix without Kevin Durant would have gone on to the greatness? Because you can argue Steph had been injured in some of those playoff series.
Yeah.
Where KD was kind of the centrifugal force for moving forward. And they deferred to KD an awful lot in those playoff series. And it might have been because Steph was less than 100%. Boy, you think they still win without Kevin Durant? Let's say the Hamptons 5 goes out there, or the Hamptons 4 goes out there to make it Hamptons 5. Staying in Oklahoma City.
You got to tell me who...
He stays in Oklahoma City.
Do they keep Harrison Barnes at that point?
Let's say yeah.
I think they could have won one more. I don't think they would have won any more than one.
Do you think Oklahoma City would have been able to muster up one more run?
Yes.
If he stayed? And maybe Oklahoma City is that team?
I actually think they would have been the favorite the next year if he had stayed.
That's interesting. Wow. That's interesting.
And then he didn't, and then they traded Ibaka, and it was all different from that point. But I think they would have been the favorite if he had stayed in OKC. And Cleveland could have won, and the Warriors could have won. There were a lot of teams that would have been able to say they could have won. San Antonio. That was when Kawhi Leonard got hurt that year in the conference finals against the Warriors when the Spurs were up 25.
Yep.
So I think there would have been four or five teams that could have. But yeah, I wonder from an individual standpoint, if there are Warrior fans out there that feel a little cheated from just seeing the Steph Curry show more, or seeing Curry really have the 3, 4, 5 years as the no doubt number one.